Welcome to episode 2 of the Higher Standard Podcast, the new podcast that's devoted specifically to Princeton Wrestling. Thank you for joining us. My name is Craig Saxon. I hope you enjoyed the first show. We got some good numbers for that one, the interview with Chris Ayers in December. This episode will feature the 197-pound champion at Midlands, Patrick Brucky, who's currently undefeated this season. 17-0 after that brilliant run at Midlands, and really just an incredible first half of the season for Brucky. Before we get to that interview, a quick look at kind of what's happened over the last couple weeks and then what's coming up this weekend, because it's a big one. Obviously, the Tigers, two individual champions at Midlands, Matthew Kolodzic and Brucky, and then, you know, a great run by Patrick Glory, who I think can really build off the final 4 minutes of his semifinal against Spencer Lee, where he was in control of that match. Obviously, the first period put him down a little too much, but I thought he could really take control of what happened in those last 4 minutes and build on it, especially starting this weekend. Then the F&M Open, a good opportunity for guys like Quincy Monday, who won. Kevin Parker really dominated the 184-pound weight class. Travis Stefanik, and even guys who didn't win, guys like, you know, Jonathan Gomez, Grant Cuomo, getting matches under their belts, getting some confidence as we move towards the dual portion of the season. Those dual matches start this weekend with a couple of big ones. Now, both have been moved to Jadwin Gym on the schedule originally. The North Carolina match on Friday was in Dillon. That is now at Jadwin. Both are Jadwin. Both will be at ESPN on ESPN Plus if you can't get there. Friday night, 7 p.m., Jadwin Gym against North Carolina. And then Saturday, 1 p.m., Oklahoma State. What a match to bring into Jadwin Gym. That's a ticketed event. You can order tickets on GoPrincetonTigers.com, or you can buy them at the door. Several highlight matches. I mean, all of Princeton's top 10 guys have top 10 to 15 opponents from Oklahoma State. Maybe the highlight will be that 125-pound match where Patrick Glory can really, really turn some heads as he goes against Nick Piccinini from Oklahoma State. He's ranked either third or fourth, depending on which poll, but, you know, really good opportunity there. And just a fun atmosphere, a fun event in Jadwin, the final match before reading break, and then finals, and then, you know, the heart of the Ivy season. So this is a good one. Both matches this weekend, as I said, on ESPN Plus. Friday night, Jadwin Gym, 7 p.m. against North Carolina. And then Saturday, 1 p.m., Jadwin Gym against Oklahoma State, both on ESPN Plus. And, you know, one of the big guys that people will come out to see is our guest. Let's hear from the Midlands champion, Patrick Brucky. You had a really good freshman year. But you've made a clear jump. When you left that freshman season, where did you feel like these are the steps I need to take to get to where I want to be?
I think it was just, you know, being hungry and just not being satisfied. You know, like you said, there were, you know, a few really good things that happened my freshman year, and that's awesome, you know, but like, that's not the focus, you know? I mean, in order to grow, you got to focus on what you need to work on. So I kind of, you know, changed the focus to the small areas of criticism where I could work, and most of it was just the mental approach. And, you know, my training in the summer then turned to, you know, how can I approach the sport differently, and, you know, how can I grow through the mindset of an athlete? And that pretty much determined how I was going to approach this season.
You know, I know you dealt with some injuries last March when you got to the postseason, so you're not at 100% physically. But when you talk about the mental approach, when you looked at how you wrestled EIWAs and NCAAs, did you feel like that was an area specifically that either you weren't aggressive enough or you were overwhelmed by the moment? Or what did you take from those 2 weekends in particular? Because I got the sense that While there were, even for those 2 weekends, there were some good things. I did feel like you left those 2 weekends unsatisfied.
Yeah, totally. I would say those are, it's funny because like, the 2 weeks leading up until the EIWAs, I was wrestling the best I've ever wrestled in my life. And I had, like, the mindset, I had just started to figure it out, where it did not matter who was going to be across the line for me. I was going to do my thing. And then, you know, unfortunately, I had an injury in practice, and it just kind of planted a seed in my head. And it was a seed of doubt, you know, and it just started to fester a little bit. And I was like, man, can I really still do this? You know, and I'm not one to really feel sorry for myself, but I became skeptic of, like, man, like, you know, there's some really good competition in this country. Can I still prove that I'm one of the best and among those guys, even with, you know, a couple of setbacks? So performance at the EIWAs and the NCAAs, yeah, I'm those are pretty salty in my, you know, my athletic history and my career. Those are not bright spots, but at the same time, it's like I've learned so much because of those experiences, you know, and to forget about them is just a flaw, you know, because it happened. It's something that I experienced for a reason, and I'm better because of it, you know. And was it my best self? Not even close, but it happened. That was my performance. That's the way, you know, the cookie crumbles. You know, you have to just kind of take the cards that are given to you, play them the best you can. And, you know, that's all I could have done.
You know, the term seed of doubt is an interesting one, because I watch you wrestle this year, and whether it's a couple of dual matches that have major importance to team success, and then obviously your performance at Midlands and even the Tiger Open, the one thing that doesn't appear is any doubt. I mean, you have kind of attacked each opponent and never really been satisfied with, okay, I'm up 4 or 5 points, he's not taking me down, I'm good. You know, it's been kind of 7 minutes of nonstop. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that seed of doubt is completely gone? Because it certainly looks like it.
Yeah, that thing's gone, for sure. I did a lot of work over the summer, like just mental preparation. You know, how can I change my approach to sport? And honestly, one of the biggest things I did, I mean, I got a tattoo on my chest, and there's a meaning for every single bit of ink, you know, in that tattoo. And the biggest thing is there is no doubt. You know, you cannot live with doubt in your life, you know, because you make the decisions you do for a reason, and you have to stand by them. And, you know, every single decision you make, you know, whether it's a shot, a sprawl, a life decision, you know, comes with a consequence. But you can't be timid in that decision, because then you have regrets. And I don't want to be the person that's living with regrets, you know. I just want to be able to live my life and stand by what I've done and be proud, you know.
Before we get to Midlands, the Lehigh win was such a big one for this program. And, you know, the lead up, obviously, you had the big wins by Glory and Kolodziej early, and then, you know, Dale's win, Kevin's win set you up. And it was still kind of an interesting thing, because you're at Lehigh, this kind of magical place, mm-hmm. somewhere where the program had never won, and you're going up against a top 20 guy, and it felt like a moment that could really weigh somebody down. Do you think about any of that before your match, or do you just have to focus on kind of what's in front of you?
The truth is, I mean, it's human nature to have, you know, fear. I mean, was I scared to lose? Absolutely not. I mean, I've lost hundreds of times before in my life at 100,000 different things, you know. But in that moment, taking in all the context of the night, you know, the travel we did, we weren't going there for nothing. You know, my teammates were performing their butts off. Dale Tiongson pulled an incredible upset. You know, Kevin Parker got bonus. Matt Kolodziej did his thing. Pat Glory got bonus. I mean, in that moment, there was absolutely no way I was going to let those guys down, you know, because they won us the duel. You know, I just needed to do my job for 7 minutes. That's all I needed to do. And then as a team, we were going to bring that together, and we were going to bring that home. So I think I was kind of thinking vicariously a little bit, and that just made it so easy for me to just go out there and execute the split decision I had to, which was just win the match, you know, and do it in style. And you know, leave that kid not wanting to wrestle me again.
You're an Illinois boy. You said you lived about 40, 45 minutes. Was Midlands a big thing for you growing up? Like, did you go to it? What is Midlands to a kid from the Illinois area?
It's a term that, you know, in the eyes of a kid and a boy growing in the sport when I was young, it was like one of those things that you just look at like, these guys are the peak of my sport, you know? And my dad used to take me there quite a few years, and I would, you know, always watch the reruns on, you know, TV on the Big Ten Network. They would have it running, you know, even several months after the tournament. And like, it was always just, holy cow, man, those guys are good, you know? And I was always a smaller weight class when I was watching those things. And then as I grew, I was like, man, like, those guys are big. I don't know if I can hang with those guys, you know? I've always had so much respect for that tournament. And I've always looked up to anybody who's competed in that tournament and done well in that tournament. And so, especially last year, having the first time I was able to, you know, really compete as a true freshman next to my brother, that was just so special. You know, it was, and I had so much family there, and it was incredibly supportive. It was an awesome environment. And this year was just, you know, we've been around here twice now. It's second time around the block. You know what to expect. Kind of calms the nerves a little bit, levels the playing field, and really kind of allowed me to just relax and let the moment sink in, and then do what I had to do to get the job done.
Yeah, you went through that first day, you know, pretty handily. You get set up with the semifinal against Rocco Haywood of Army, who's a 6th-ranked kid in the country, and I know you had seen him before, but, you know, that match felt like one of the most dominant performances you've had kind of in your career here. I mean, that one was never in doubt. Again, do you feel like almost as you grab wins, you've had other top 20 wins, like, does wins upon wins build to the confidence you already have? And do you take the mat that day feeling like, I've got this, I'm good?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, when you boil it down, this is a really complex sport, but it's also just the most simple sport that you could possibly think of. It's just two guys, if you gain control of your opponent, you win, you know? So like, having those wins under your belt, and for me, it's replaying the situations in my head, you know, getting to this shot, how easy was it to get to that shot? What was my footwork like during that match, you know? And when that happens, it's just kind of like, yeah, I know I could do that again. And then when I'm wrestling the same kid over and over again, I'm like, yeah, I took that kid down, you know, got a couple scores on him, beat him pretty good. Yeah, I could do that again. You know, and then once I tell myself, yeah, I could do that again, it's just like, all right, just do it, you know? And that's all the confidence I need, you know, because like, I already know that my potential is beyond what this kid, you know, can bring to the table. And not to, you know, discount any opponents, you know, you have to respect everyone, absolutely, but when you're going into that match, there's got to be no sliver of doubt that you're going to get the job done.
Similar to the Lehigh, then, going into the final, again, an Illinois kid who grew up watching Midlands, mm-hmm. Do you have to separate that? Because you're going against a guy who had kind of been one of the stories of the tournament, knocks off, you know, the second and third seed to get to the final. Mm-hmm. Do you have to separate that, or can you allow yourself to be like, man, this is cool. I got family here. This is Midlands Finals. You know, we're doing something special as a team. Can you embrace the moment, or do you just have to focus on the 7 minutes?
It was kind of unique because that kid was having a heck of a tournament, you know. And hats off to him. You know, he did a great job. But when you boil it down, it is still only 7 minutes with you that matters, you know. So he could have been wrestling anybody before me. It doesn't matter. It's just the amount of work that I'm willing to put in the 7 minutes I have with him, you know. So I just kind of looked at it, you know, totally, completely, unbiasedly. You know, I watched maybe two of his matches, and I just knew. You know, I knew, like, if I do what Patrick Brucke is capable of, or, you know, if I get even close to that, I'm going to do my job, you know, and I'm going to leave this tournament, you know, with a chest full of, you know, enthusiasm. And, you know, that's all it really took. I think, you know, him having a good tournament doesn't really affect how I'm going to wrestle or how I'm going to approach my match, you know, because when it's all said and done, I want to win it on my terms, you know, and I want to win or I want to lose on my terms. So either way, you know, his thought process or his tournament doesn't come into that at all.
You're about an hour away from being the first ever Midlands champion out of Princeton.
Yeah.
Couldn't have requested that they started those finals midway through.
I was hoping we were just going to, you know, roll the dice and get lucky, start at 57 maybe. There was a lot of really good matchups in that final round, so I was expecting, you know, they were going to maybe, you know, start the weight class at a different one so that they could have a marquee match. But you know what? I mean, Matt Kolasek he's the guy. You know, I'm pretty confident I'm going to stand, you know, second or third behind him in a lot of different categories. And for that, I'm still thankful because he's absolutely deserving of everything. You know, that guy he works his butt off.
Does it, you know, it's interesting because Kolasek came into a room that had, you know, a Bret Hardner and a Jordan Laster. Now you came into a room that has a Kolasek, and now you've got some freshmen that are coming into a room that has you and has Kolasek. I mean, do you feel that now instead of, because you're a sophomore captain, which doesn't happen in many sports, but do you kind of feel the responsibility to that in some of the ways that maybe you were able to grow a little quicker seeing somebody like Kolasek last year and a couple of the other guys, Schleifer?
Totally, totally. I mean, I'm the kind of person, I can respond to, you know, like when a coach gets in my ear and he starts, you know, chewing me out a little bit, I respond to that well. But I respond best when I see somebody leading by example, you know, because I'm a really observant person for the most part. So seeing guys like John Schleifer, Matt Kolasek, those guys working in the room and showing me what good work looks like, and then also doing stuff to excess, you know, and doing stuff beyond what just coach tells you, I mean, that's all the motivation you need to lead or to be led. You know, I was all about Mike D'Angelo becoming a captain last year because he was right up with those guys, you know. I was really blessed to have, we as a program are really blessed to have good guys in good leadership positions who know how to work. And I think that we're responding to that pretty well. Moving forward, that's all I really want to instill in our guys this year. You know, I'm not overly vocal. I think I like to let the team, you know, say whatever they feel, or if guys, you know, want to say something, absolutely, freshmen, stand right up. But one thing that I always want to do is just lead by example, you know, because if your leader isn't going to do it, then you're not going to do it.
You know, I'd have to think that when you talk about watching people set an example, your brother, Christian, had to be kind of top, you know, one of the earliest big figures in the sport, obviously a terrific wrestler for Central Michigan. How big was he in your growth and development in the sport?
Huge, huge. I actually got him into the sport. So I started when I was younger, and I started, you know, kind of beating him up a little bit when I was 4 years younger, and he was like, all right, this isn't going to happen.
Wasn't having that.
He's like, drop the basketball, we're going into wrestling. Shaved his head, got right into it. But, I mean, he jumped right in, you know, head first. And I was like, dang, you know, that takes guts. So, and then he was the first one in college, obviously. First one in high school. He won a state title in Illinois senior year. Came out of nowhere, was a dark horse. And I just admired how hard he worked. I mean, he knew that he was behind the curve in the sport. And he embraced it. And he did what he knew he was good at. And that was just bringing a motor every 7 minutes, you know, and just wearing guys down. So he kind of, you know, laid the groundwork for the kind of wrestler that I want to be as far as keeping pressure on somebody for, you know, all 7 minutes. And it is a 7 minute fight with a whistle. And I mean, I'm just grateful to have him now as a supporter and a, you know, a coach and a partner, and a, you know, a mentor. But yeah, I mean, watching him go through his high school, college experience taught me so much in so many different areas, you know, the winning, the losing, the working, everything. I mean, I'm pretty indebted to him too.
Yeah, you've obviously plenty to go over the next couple months, and a big weekend, at least this month, is going to be that North Carolina and then obviously Oklahoma State weekend and those duels. How important is it for you to have Princeton recognized on the map among, you know, you're not obviously in that top 10 at this point, mm-hmm. but to kind of be associated with, hey, these are the big duels this weekend, these are the big duels this month, we got Oklahoma State in Jadwin here, to be part of those matches, to bring the fans to Jadwin, and then to be competitive in those matches. How important is that to you, to this program?
I mean, it's huge. You know, it's an integral part of growing the program. You know, I mean, how do you expect anybody to compete with the best in the country if they aren't treated like the best in the country? You know, if they're treated second fiddle, then they're going to compete second fiddle, you know, and that's not what we want. So, I mean, it boils down to everything. I mean, fans, you know, the venue, you know, how we approach the competition, you know. I mean, if you don't have yourself, if you don't hold yourself to that high standard, then, you know, leading up to it and your training before, then you're not going to compete at that standard, you know. So for us, it's incredible to have, you know, such an awesome fan base that we encourage to, you know, we want to have a bigger fan base, you know, and it's gotten so much better over the last 2-3 years, you know, but we want to keep growing that, because that only helps us, you know, and it only helps us, you know, grow from tier 15 to top 10, top 8, top 6, top 5.
Patrick Brucke and his Princeton teammates will be in Jadwin twice this weekend, Friday night, 7 p.m. against North Carolina, and then Saturday, 1 p.m. against Oklahoma State. You can watch both matches on ESPN+. Have a great week, everybody, and thank you again for listening to the Higher Standard Podcast.